everyone. Welcome. I'm Dale Coolis, subbing in for John Roberts today. It is time for your Wednesday edition of the Berkshire Hathaway podcast. And today in the studio, we have on realty expert Adam Helgeson, and he'll be joining us right after this.
What would tomorrow look like if you sold your house today? Maybe you'd move to a new city or a new country. Maybe you'd pick up birding or birdies. You could get into wine. Not that into wine. Or skiing. Warmer skiing. Or maybe you'd spend more time doing nothing at all. When you're ready for whatever comes next, we'll be ready to help you get there. Berkshire Hathaway Home Services.
All right. Welcome back, everyone. And I'll try and do my best John Roberts impression. I'm joined by the one, the only, Adam Helgeson. Welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing well. It's been a long time since I knocked out one of these guys with you. So yeah, how have you been lately?
I've been good. Been busy. Mm-hmm. Market's crazy. So yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's been a while since we've sat and chatted.
So. I maybe once every 2 or 3 months or so, I'll seem to kind of rotate in if John can't make it in the studio that day. I've done a couple here with Caitlin and John over the last several months. But yeah, it's been a while since I knocked one out here with you. Yeah, we're just talking a little bit before the show about all kinds of wheeling and dealing. You've been a busy guy lately.
I have been, yes. The market's nuts, so there's just not enough inventory out there. So.
And I guess speaking of other busy happenings lately, you just kind of got back recently from the State of the Base address.
Correct. Yeah, this morning we did the State of the Base. I'm part of the Military Affairs Committee with the Chamber of Commerce. So every year we do, we kind of coordinate this to have the Wing Commander, Colonel Monroe, come in and just invite community leaders and stuff to kind of hear what's going on at the airbase, build that connectivity and relationships between the airbase and the civilian community. Being military and, you know, myself, being away from family, you lean on that local community where you're stationed quite a bit. These young airmen come from all over the country. They come up here. This is probably not their first choice of duty station, let's just be honest. But I have to say, Grand Forks has one of the best relationships with its airbase. The community is very welcoming of these young airmen. And we're just trying to help make them feel more welcome. So it's kind of cool to sit down and see all of what's going on at the base. They did a nice presentation. Of course, those that don't know, Grand Forks is one of two in the nation that does the high frequency communication. So they get messages in and then relay them and bounce them off the stratosphere.
It's like satellite?
No, I don't know how it works, but they like bounce it off the stratosphere and can shoot to air, marine, whatever, and they get encrypted messages, coded messages, like they don't even know what it means. So they will get a message from the White House, send this message on this frequency, and they have this coded message they shoot out. They have no clue what it means, but they know they're helping people.
That was a big focus point. I'm part of the latest State of the Base there, the high frequency communication.
Yep. So they do that. They're one of two. So even like when SpaceX and those go up, they're one of the main spots that communicates with NASA and their joint communications. Another big thing is we have, joint relationships with the Space Force out of Cavalier. So they're setting up the new satellite system to track. So let's say an enemy shoots a rocket at the U.S. Their satellites and stuff, their guys here are set up to track that and give coordinates in real time for,
Space Force. Now, that was only just established just like, 5-6 years ago, that?
Yep. So, yeah, we have a Space Force station in Cavalier. But yeah, their new satellite systems are supposed to be tracking the guided missiles and then giving on real-time coordinates to shoot them down and that type of stuff. So
both those things you just mentioned, the high frequency stations and the new coordinate station, those sound paramount to the Air Force.
Oh, it is. Yeah, these young airmen. So right now there's about 2,200 airmen stationed in Grand Forks with their family, independence, and everything. There's over 4,000 on any given day going out there. Right now we have approximately 200 deployed. But it's not only the Grand Forks Air Station. We have joint stations with Grand Forks Airmen. One is in Italy and one is in Guam. They're running kind of transit stations, right? Like, not really refueling stations, because they have the big Global Hawk mission out here. These airmen on Grand Forks Air Force Base are doing imagery across the globe, helping ground troops, helping naval ships, you know, see what's going on from above and transmitting that data via sonar, satellite, you know, all this high-tech imagery. And we have young 18, 19-year-olds flying $2 million unmanned aircraft around the globe. So
I was just going to say, like, I've seen, like, over the last several years, seeing how Grand Forks Air Force Base, just kind of just catching the occasional news article, how it's just kind of evolved over the last several years, going with more and more unmanned aircraft, it seems.
Yep. So Grand Forks is kind of like the hub in the U.S. for the UAV stuff. So these guys, the joint operations with Sicily and Guam, they can land those planes, you know, do maintenance, fix them up, and then get them, relaunch them again, get them back up in the air for these young airmen here in Grand Forks to fly them all over. Some of the missions they're doing are just insane. So it's pretty cool what they have. They also, for those people that don't know, they have the airbase is like its own little city. They have their own gas station, they have their own fitness center, their own restaurant, they have their own little bar and grill.
I used to frequent their bowling alley a lot. Yep. I had family out there a while back.
They got their own bowling alley, yep. And they have their own medical unit. So me being a retired veteran, I go out there for all my medical prescriptions, all my doctor visits, all that type of stuff. So they have a very amazing medical detachment out there as well. They have a dental office, vision office. They have their own bank out there. I mean, it's
I know my stepdad's a veteran, and he and my mom go there all the time for their groceries at their commissary. They love it out there.
Yeah. For those that don't know, the commissary is what the military calls their grocery store. Yeah, they get discounted stuff, especially like I was out there shopping the other day and hamburger was like $4 a pound instead of $6 here in town. The biggest thing I saw is like a box of garbage bags. Was like $24 at Target. It was $16 out there. I'm like, holy, that's $8 difference in a box of garbage bags. That's nuts.
I know that. Do they still have the base exchange? That's still a regular?
Yep. Yeah. The base exchange is like a little mini Walmart, for those of you that don't know. Places to shop. So they have that. They have the outdoor rec center, which is awesome. What they do is they have fishing boats, pontoons, ice castles, campers, four-wheelers, snowmobiles, outdoor gear, anything that veterans and airmen can go rent just to get them out doing stuff. I remember when I was stationed in Hawaii, I had some young soldiers that said, this place sucks. You know what I mean? All they did is sit inside and play Xbox all day. I'm like, dude, we're in Hawaii, you know?
Yeah.
I said, Saturday morning, be ready at 7 a.m. I showed up. Prior to, I went to Outdoor Rec, rented some mountain bikes, threw them in the back of my truck. We went up in the hills, mountain biking up in the mountains and swimming under waterfalls. And they were like, oh my God, this is awesome. So
I blew them away after I mean, I like my fair share of video games too, but to get to just expose them to a whole new world of adventure like that.
Yep. And that's kind of what the Military Affairs Committee tries to do with these airmen on base is, you know, they may be pissy that they're stuck up here and they're, you know, maybe they're coming from Florida. It's the middle of winter. They're like, what the hell did I get myself into? We're trying to find ways to get these young airmen involved in the community, doing different events, getting them out there, intermingled with the community, you know, doing snowmobile trips or going skiing or just learning the culture of North Dakota.
Don't have them just hunker down during all their downtime, just getting them out and about. That's got to be like a huge, just to see that just prosper like that, to get everyone more involved. That's got to be a good feeling.
And we're trying to do like adopt an airman. Where when a young single airman comes in, of course we'll have to do background checks and stuff in the civilian community. But having them like a host family where, hey, come off base, come sit down with my family, have dinner. You know what I mean? Kind of get them integrated in the community with the local family, I think would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Another big announcement is Grand Forks just got picked up for, what do they call it? The disaster recovery something. All right, I can't remember the exact terminology. So what it is with the different climates and storms and stuff coming in affecting some of these air bases around the country, especially, you know, down south and along the coastline. That one air base got hammered by a hurricane, and their fighter jets and everything were disabled because of the hurricane. So the Air Force was kind of communicating, going, okay, if we see these natural disasters coming, what can we do? And they chose Grand Forks as one of their kind of sister bases where, okay, in the event of a natural disaster or something that's coming our way, we can relocate our assets up here. So they got like a $29 million grant to redo some of the airbase so they can, you know, host fighter jets and different stuff from these different airbases in case of a natural disaster, a hurricane coming in. They can relocate those assets here.
Just in case they have a backup plan.
Backup plan. And two, they're realizing that the airspace we have would be awesome for training. So they're revamping Grand Forks to kind of be a training space. So we might be seeing more fighter jets and stuff flying around. Because come this summer, Grand Forks airbase should be open for business for that type of stuff too. So that's pretty cool.
A bunch of big new happenings. It's interesting to bring up, you know, with the Air Force base being looking like it's having all this being locked up for assisting with natural disasters. I'm just having flashbacks to, you know, the good old flood of 97 and being at the hangar there at the Air Force base for a few days while, you know, the town was underwater there.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a good joint operation. And those two, there's another big announcement here not that long ago, if you know about Grand Sky. Grand Sky kind of took over the runway, and they have Grand Sky is like Northrop Grumman, General Atomics, all those. They recently announced they're doing a $525 million building out there, and they're going to have over 600,000 square feet of hangar space. It's going to be a huge, huge hub for everything UAVs.
Over half a billion dollars.
Yes.
Wow.
And they're breaking ground this spring. Once it's complete, they're expected to bring over 600 jobs, new jobs, to Grand Forks. So that's huge.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's just, that is tremendous. I know I was talking to some, I want to say it was some folks from the Hive and iSight yesterday, and they're talking about all kinds of new expansions and developments, and gosh, it's booming.
After the UAS summit, there was quite a few companies that are thinking about relocating to Grand Forks because of the UAV industry and what we have going on up here.
So would you say, like, several years ago, would you have ever imagined the UAV market just exploding like this?
No, it's insane, you know, and they're even going from little drones to big drones. I mean, they're experimenting with everything just because it's nice we have the flight space up here. Also, if you you fly out to Vegas or whatever on those cold wintry days, you should thank the Grand Forks Air Force Base, because it's those Grand Forks Air Force Base airmen that are doing the air traffic controlling for the Grand Forks Airport.
Oh, wow.
So they coordinate all that, too.
All the Las Vegas. We'll give them a little bit of applause on our end right here. Yep. That's a huge, I can only just...
All flights coming in and out of the Grand Forks Airport, you know, the Air Force... Air traffic control have a hand in it. It's all the UND flights, everything. So
there's big group effort.
Yeah, it's a joint community. A lot of people don't really think, you know, the airbase has a lot going on right now, but they're growing and expanding. So
I know we were talking a little before the show. It sounded like at the state of the base address there, you had a record turnout, about 300 tickets, you said?
Yeah, they had over 300 tickets sold. So more community leaders and stuff are getting involved. And, you know, I think out towards the airbase is going to be growing. So if you're an entrepreneur, I mean, they're in need of restaurants and stuff in Amarillo, especially if they're having 600 new jobs out there. There's nowhere for them to go for lunch or whatever. Of course, there's a dining facility on base, but I think Amarillo's going to be growing here as well. So
get some nice, just a couple of miles outside of the Air Force Base. That's got to be a lot of great supplemental growth going right alongside.
Well, yeah, I just had a 10-acre property right up by the airbase, and it got in a bidding war. Went $31,000 over asking just because of the growth out there. It's insane. So
I see we got a couple comments in the chat there. We got Paul's very much approving of what you're talking about there, and also Bailey Bjorgi saying, "Hey, Adam."
Hey, so, what's up, Bailey?
Hello to Bailey. Is there anything we missed here before we wrap up, Adam?
No, just the only thing I want to say is these soldiers and airmen, are they go through a lot, right? Think of us right now with our normal day stresses and everything. All right, take that plus your military duty, possible deployments, that type of stuff. So all I ask of the community, if you see a military member and their family out, try and just say hi. A lot of people say thank you for your service. Maybe say thank you for my freedom, right? That hits home just a little bit more. And try and get to know them. You know, if you see them out, they came from all over the country. The service member signed up to serve their country and do what they need to do. The spouse and children necessarily didn't. So it's nice for them to know they have a support base when their spouse is deployed. So just reach out to them, do what you can to say hi, welcome them to the community, and go from there.
I got to give the crowd clap for that again, because you mentioned it could count, it may sound like a cliche or not, but I cannot just feel appreciated for them going above and beyond for all that. I've been talking to more and more veterans the last couple of months here through the Arts for Vets Gallery in town for what they've been doing, and just hearing all their what they've been through and all that.
Exactly.
And
I know personal experience what it's like to be, you know, transferred somewhere in the middle of nowhere. You don't know a soul. You're showing up and like, hey, I'm new here. What's up? You know, and trying to meet new people and, you know, get involved in the community, that type of stuff. So I got to say Grand Forks does a great job, but definitely just to reach out to these airmen and their families and welcome them and do what you can. If you want to get involved with the Military Affairs Committee, that'd be great. We have the Golden Eagle Club where you can sponsor with the Golden Eagle, and that money goes towards helping veterans and the airmen and stuff like that.
People watching this, listening to this right now, that sounds right up their alley. They're interested. Can they find that easy search on Facebook there or website?
I mean, if you have questions, you can get a hold of me. You can get a hold of Kimberly Strum at the Chamber. There's definite ways.
As people want to get a hold of you, Adam, for that and so much more in the latest in real estate, what's the best way for people to reach out and contact you?
The best way is my cell, which is 701-317-1750. You can check out my website, homesbyhelgeson.com, or call any of us real estate experts at Berkshire Hathaway at 701-746-0303.
Well, that will wrap up our Wednesday edition of the Berkshire Hathaway podcast. Adam will be back in the GFBS studios this Friday. It'll be our 4-year anniversary.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, we'll be celebrating and can't wait to have you here. And I know I sent a shout out to Caitlin and John also.
They just don't matter.
maybe we can get you guys all here for the 4-year bring them in against their will. No, I'm just kidding.
Do a trio session.
Yes, that would be awesome. All right. Well, many thanks again to Adam Helgeson for joining us today. Many thanks to producer Paul. We'll be back for the next Berkshire Hathaway podcast this Friday at 10 o'clock. Until then, have a great day, and we will see you Friday.